Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I wouldn't have thought you would have watched the Emmys.
I wouldn't have thought you'd want him to text you.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I at least want to know he's thinking.
By the way, how am I doing with baby boy Bootsy?
So you have entered a new era with the boy. He can now walk. He's talking to you. You held him for a couple of minutes.
He comes over to me to be talked, to be held.
You picked him up.
How about that?
I think he was reaching for the wine glass.
Well, that's possible, but he and I go to him all the time, and I just go,
yeah, that's disturbing.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We're back Thursday. We're here again Friday. We're here all next week. Thank you for coming to Chatter. We are at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest. We are open today and tonight. Tonight for football.
Big game tonight.
A game that I never would have thought I wanted to watch, but I do.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. I want to watch it because I think the Browns are going to win it. We have Gary Braun, we have Chris Saliza, we have Michael Kornheiser, the great Bill Isaacson is sitting with us. Nigel will do the news and produce the show, which is important. Mm-hmm. You watch the game tonight, yes?
Yeah, I do. That's what I do. But I mean, I'm not. I'd be lying if I said I was looking forward to it. I'm not particularly looking forward to it.
I think I am. I think I want to see it. I mean, I got to be here. I got to be in Chatter tonight.
Come check it out.
There's a Binghamton reception.
Oh,
there's about 30 people rented out one of the rooms here. So I will just say hello there. But I think I'm going
to
watch
it. It's got like a 1914 feel to it. It just, we'll see what happens.
Okay. I have not seen Darnold in a full game, so I'm interested in that. And then I really wish they went to Baker Mayfield. Because Baker Mayfield, Darnold, I would definitely
The other guy's
watch.
Fine, though.
They're competitive.
He's fine, but I think that I'd like to see Mayfield off of Hard Knocks.
Michael, you going to watch this
game? Is that Kajus guy still on the team?
I don't think so.
I'll watch as much as I watch any Thursday night game, which is about 5 minutes to start.
Okay, well, Nigel, I'm
Yeah, up. I will watch. Yeah, because if the Browns win, I mean, it's been since, what, 1943?
That's right.
I'm sorry, we dropped the ball on this. Yeah, come on into Chatter and watch this matchup of Titans tonight.
Are you ready?
Get your party pint.
From A.J. Smith in Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
A Thursday night party.
My daughter is turning one on September 21st. That's tomorrow night.
That is tomorrow.
Do you remember the 21st night of September? Dear Lord, I do. I know my wife is expecting me to use the Craftsman tools I purchased at Lowe's to build a priceless heirloom like a dollhouse or a rocking horse. No, I know my daughter. She has a giving heart. She wants the magical orange one to be bestowed with a gift in her name. Done, Father of the Year. Enjoy the golf balls. May they be used to fight the evil purple line. And happy birthday to Emelina Smoke Smith. And Emelina is on these. These are the AVXs. Cool. Speaking of golf balls, Michael, someone came in with a box of golf balls. A big box.
Yeah, the Vice Golf.
No, I'd never heard of that. They apparently are European golf balls?
I think they are just designed and engineered in Germany. It's a way to get a premium golf ball to you, the consumer, at a better price.
Much like Harry's Razors.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe they bought the golf ball factory.
Sure, it's just a couple of regular guys.
Same street.
Teak Sato, welcome back and hello from the home of the West Coast Surf Sound. Nice to have you all back regularly. It feels like something's been missing to the morning routine this summer. I wanted to thank you for playing my friend Eve Hell's band, the 427s, back at the end of May. I saw them perform recently, and in the spirit of send me a box of those, I'm sending a box of CDs, which we gave out to a lot of people, the band's music. I know Mr. Tony enjoys this kind of music. I don't think he does MP3s, but I'm hoping he's all right with compact discs. I have a CD player in my car. Sadly, the band hasn't released any of their music on cassette tape, vinyl, or 8-track.
Well.
If any of the other cast would like a copy, please feel free or add these to the prize closet. And this is, I guess, is this from Calgary? Is this from Calgary?
Calgary, says, I think.
Calgary does have a surfing wave on the Bow River downtown. After the 2013 flood, a new contour was carved, creating a surfer-perfect permanent wave under the 10th Street Bridge. Isn't that right? And Chris is correct. Stay Gold is in reference to the Outsiders.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Stay Gold, Pony Boy.
Now we have also a book, which I hold up for people to watch on News Channel 8. This is called Dogs, Cats, and Sports. My friend Matt Williams, who is involved with the Humane Rescue Alliance, is involved with this book. And this is pictures of people who have adopted rescue dogs, mostly athletes from this area, but I am in this book
as well.
And Max Scherzer is in this book. Max Scherzer is sort of the lead dog on this whole thing.
If you will.
So this is very nice. It's very, very nice. I don't know if these books are for sale, but if they are, Dogs, Cats, Dogs, it's simply a picture book of like local athletes and stuff like
that. Can I check out yours?
Your spread?
In the back.
Okay. Check it out.
It's alphabetical, I think. So that's nice. All right, so
the best part of that
would make sense.
The best part of that picture spread is one of my golfers who lives in the neighborhood walked by the house with his then puppy and ruined the photo shoot. So all I can think is while there's this lovely contained Chessie on the front steps with the two of you,
then she started barking like
thereafter,
crazy.
She was running the fence.
Yeah, she was crazy.
Wow,
and
that's
ripped
a great
up the sock.
Picture, you guys.
Yeah, it's very, very nice. Yeah. So very happy about that. You can buy this book, I think. Dogs.
Mom's wearing a beautiful shawl.
Cats. Yeah.
This
yeah.
is. May I read the,
yes,
the quote?
Read
so
the
there's
quote.
A quote associated with
a quote
the picture.
Attributed to me, which is a true quote.
And Tony is quoted as saying, "We have gained a great friend and frisbee catcher, and lost a lawn. The dog runs like a horse. We're gonna have to resod twice a year, but better to have a dog than a lawn."
Yes. So a picture of us with the dog. So very, very nice. Let me start the show with this, which I something I find extraordinarily interesting, because I used to do this for a living. I used to, when I was actually a fairly good writer, I used to write long profiles of people. And I used to try and write these profiles so that when you read it, you said, okay, that's this guy or that's this girl, and nobody can do this better ever again. Occasionally I succeeded with that, but every once in a while Frank DeFord came back and wrote a piece, and I lost, because he was a lot better than I. There's a guy from Sports Illustrated named Lee Jenkins who has quit Sports Illustrated, and he has taken a job with the Los Angeles Clippers. As someone involved with the recruitment, I guess, and draft picks for the Los Angeles Clippers. This is based on something Michael Lewis, who's a great, great writer.
Great writer. Sure. Yes. Said, Liar's Poker.
Yes. Yeah, said also among other ball. Things, among Blindside, among other things. He said the job of the modern scout was to do more than figure out how fast a pitcher throws or how high a linebacker jumps. His job was part psychologist and part detective. He should find out how a player gets along with his teammates, for example, and how he handles being away from home. Lewis said, quote, what you should do is basically hire a bunch of young journalists to go figure out who these people are. Lawrence Frank, the president of the basketball operations for the Los Angeles Clippers, read the interview and took Lewis's advice. On Tuesday, Lee Jenkins, the prolific feature writer for Sports Illustrated, announced he was taking a newly created job with the Clippers, executive director of research and identity, which sounds like the beginning of Orphan Black to me, more so than a real job. Jenkins isn't quite a young journalist. His specialty is profiling the biggest names in the game, from Kawhi Leonard to LeBron James. I'm reading from the Post today, a story by Ben Strauss. It's that skill, the ability to probe, report, and understand the biggest personalities around the league, as well as his first-rate connections, that led the Clippers to pursue Jenkins. I ask all the time when I'm working on a story, who is he? Who is he? Who is he? Jenkins said in an interview. Well, after the first who is he, you really ought to know. We run around with that question in our head, and it's a worthwhile question for sports teams to ask about players. It also says later in the story that Sports Illustrated is for sale, but that had nothing to do with Jenkins' decision. The great quotes here are from Lawrence Frank, who says he's not writing for the website, he's not in human resources, he's not a marketer. This is about a guy who has relentless curiosity, and we're going to use those skills. If I wanted someone for a free agency presentation, we would hire an ad agency. The reality is someone who has been in basketball versus a journalist will attack a problem from different perspectives. If you want different thoughts and want to avoid an echo chamber and avoid groupthink, you have to have people come from different perspectives. Well, then why not hire a grocery store clerk? I mean, that sounds really good. I did this for a living. I can't imagine helping a basketball team or a football team or a hockey team or a baseball team with my insights, because I'm not a trained psychologist. I can just tell you that I sat with this guy for X amount of time to do a story, and this is what I thought. But if you're drafting people, you're not going to have, right, Chris, you did this for a living. You're not going to have that opportunity. You're not going to be able to sit with these guys. If you want a better basketball team, get better players. Right. I don't get this.
What more?
Yeah,
and
I'm
happy for Lee Jenkins. I'll bet his salary was tripled. Sure. Tripled.
I think it's a different skill set. Doing what we do versus doing what they... I mean, like, I would never... Lots of reporters do this, journalists do this. They go and be, like, the press secretary or a strategist or something for a politician.
Okay. Yes.
Even that, I feel like it's the same... Two sides of a same coin, but not the same side of the same coin. I think it is what they're trying to do, and we've seen sort of... unorthodox hires like this, not always journalists, but hiring, when they brought Paul DePodesta in, like a baseball guy doing football.
That's right.
I think they are trying different things under the theory that, you just baseball rolled out the same scouts for X number of years.
Baseball has been completely inundated and flooded by analytics people. I understand
so I think
that.
This is
different.
I think this is just another bite at the How can we think outside the box of someone who is around this world, but not of this world, and therefore maybe brings us a different perspective on our world that we are incapable of providing?
If I'm the general manager,
I would say I would do it. Right. I disagree.
I'm happy for Lee Jenkins.
I actually like it.
I think. Go ahead.
Well, I just scouting for a while, you could think, and for a while, whatever, 10, 20, 30 years, whatever it's been, you could think, well, we have the best scouts. Our guy, Tony's going to see something in this kid no one else is going to see. We've reached a point of saturation with that where people feel like, as a scout, as far as the eyeball test that they talk about, everyone knows what they're looking at. Everyone sees the same thing. That's what analytics was sort of born of. Well, how can we get an edge? How can we scout in a way that no one else is scouting? I don't know enough about Lee Jenkins to say the hire is a good one or a bad one. I might think intuitively maybe someone with more of a psychology background would be of more value. Yeah. But I think if I'm with this team and I think, well, maybe, you know, everyone looks at I don't want to pick on people, but a guy who's been in the news, Josh Gordon. Everyone looks at Josh Gordon. They know what his problems are. Okay, well, they know what the struggles have been with him. And everyone saw his talent. Everyone knew his talent. If I had a guy who could maybe tell me, all right, this guy, despite the off-field issues that he has, I think he can survive for whatever reason, or maybe because of these issues, forget the talent. This guy's not going to make it. He's going to kill your team. If you have someone who you think can help you figure that out better than you're presently equipped to, I mean, how can that not potentially help you?
If I'm a general manager and I've got the 7th pick in the draft of whatever sport you want to name, so it's not LeBron James. It's not obvious.
Right. It's not.
It's not obvious. Because with LeBron, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But if I've got the 7th.
There's guys every year we talk about this. If I've got the 7th
pick, I can't believe that if I'm between 2 or 3 guys, I can't believe that people on my staff haven't talked to his parents, his friends, his teachers, his coaches.
Let me just answer that. Guys on your staff have. But every year, there is. It's not always. It doesn't always elevate to a Randy Moss or a Warren Sapp, guys who come immediately to mind as guys who fell, and then overperformed.
That's okay? Right.
But if you had a guy who could tell you at 13, you don't have to pass on Warren Sapp because he smoked weed.
Right.
Because this guy...
You wouldn't know that? You wouldn't know that?
I guess you don't think you would, or you wouldn't hire this guy.
I think drafting is largely outside of the top 2 or 3 a crapshoot, and I think this is an attempt
to extend the free agency and stuff as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
do I think the Utah Jazz have figured it out better because they drafted Donovan Mitchell and all the teams above them did? Not really.
They got that one right.
Because I could go back and point you to. I mean, they drafted Dante Exum.
Yeah,
with
a higher number.
With number 4. Now he got hurt, but I'm not sure that there's a formula. It's like for every LeBron or Duncan, or even, I know he's been hurt, but even Andrew Luck, where it's like everyone agreed. There's no debate. There's, you know, you get down. I mean, even look at Oden versus Durant. I mean, clearly one of them has had a better career. I don't know that you can ever bring certainty to it, but I think there's an attempt to bring in now to say, we know that we have a certain kind of thinking. And we've used this kind of thinking to Gary's point. We've used this kind of thinking to guide our decisions for X number of years.
And now
we've gotten some right
and
some
wrong.
Is there any way that if we outside that thinking, we can bump it up 5 or 10%?
If I got this job 30 years ago, this is what I did for a living. And I wrote long profiles, some of which you can read on some website that I found out about the other day called Long Reads.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I even went back and looked over a story that somebody sent me, and I went, oh, that was pretty good. I hadn't remembered it at all.
I wonder who wrote this.
So I'm sort of the person that they would hire to do this. And I would have taken this job in a heartbeat because they would have tripled my salary.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would have been very, very glamorous, and it would have been lots of fun. But I don't know that it helps. I don't know, because those things that you bring to a long profile, the most important thing you bring to a long profile is the ability to sit with this person for some long period of time and then be very reflective over some reasonably long period of time. And I don't know that you can do that.
But it's an investigative mindset that may not exist. I mean, listen, it's not just about a person's talents and trials and tribulations.
How do they fit?
Because it's also a fit. Exactly.
How do they fit? How do they fit with us? How do they fit with Doc Rivers?
Look.
How do they fit with DeAndre Jordan, who's, I think, the only person left on that team, if he's even left on that team, because that team stinks.
How do they fit with our with our team culture. I mean, there have been people in these chairs far more talented than Chris and I, but maybe they weren't a fit here. Tom Brady, everyone talks about how many times he was skipped over, drafted by any other team, he might, he's out of the league.
So it's I found this very interesting. I'm happy. I don't know Lee Jenkins.
How old is he, Tom?
I don't know.
And it reminds me, it takes me to an old friend of ours, Matt Millen, who I remember being, now granted, he was a player, but to me, I think, unless you can think of someone before him, he was the first guy to sort of go to parlay the Booth thing. I mean, you now see this more and more.
And he was terrible. His record was terrible. And he's one of the finest people we know.
Yeah.
And we rooted for him. And his record
stunk. He opened that door. Yeah. Right?
I guess. This is way
different. I mean, yeah, he wasn't a journalist.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Chuck Todd will join us. Chuck Todd crashed back to Earth after a 5-2 start, went 2-5.
Gave it all back.
It is sad. We'll see what happens. Sleepy-eyed Chuck Todd when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a SeatGeek ad. Getting tickets online can be far too complicated. With hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability, it's hard to know who to trust. That's why SeatGeek is the way to go. SeatGeek pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to ticket source for everything from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. It says that I actually have SeatGeek on my phone. I don't. You do.
I do.
So I do as well.
I use it regularly. I mean, we use it.
So there you
genuinely.
Go. There you go. Best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you do is download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. You enter the promo code Tony today. That's promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, and we have the tickets. Good line.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a band called Civic Duty. We have played their stuff before, and we're playing it today. Mike, who's from the band, said we emailed you a while back with a link to our newly released EP. Now we have released a full-length album. Would love for you to check it out if you'd like to, of course. This is called Jitters, and the band is called Civic Duty. Do we know where they're from? Because Mike doesn't identify where they're from.
I believe they're from Planet Earth, yes.
Planet Earth?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Because I'm tired of playing those things from Uranus.
I typed in Civic Duty Band into the interwebs, and it says they're from the DMV.
Oh, great.
Oh, how about that?
That's great. So maybe they play around here, and they can tell us where they play.
And by the way, speaking of Uranus, which is never
always
not
funny except to Wilbon.
There is, I think it's in Cincinnati, there's a new paper called the Uranus Times.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that's great.
I saw Saturn last night. Just below and slightly to the left of the
Moon. Oh, the actual Saturn?
Yes.
You actually saw it?
I'm sorry, Mars. Mars.
Oh, it's Mars?
Oh, same
glowing
thing.
A beautiful orange in the evening sky.
Are you telling us the truth now? Is
truth.
It Mars?
Truth. It was Mars. Visible in last night's sky.
What color was Uranus glowing?
Chuck Todd joins us now. Chuck came back to Earth, as I said earlier. Chuck was 5-2 in week one, and we thought on the launch pad for one of the great seasons ever. And then Chuck was 2-5 last week, so he's now 7-7.
In that Minnesota game.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like an idiot because I brought up the problem I fell into, which was there were a lot of home dogs.
Right.
And I was picking against too many home dogs. I mean, three of my five losses were home dogs. Technically, the Packers were +1. I think the Giants Dallas. Giants were the
Jags.
Dallas was a home dog.
Jags.
You know?
Well, you're going to have two home dogs today. You're going. We'll see how you do on these home dogs. So you're going to have two at the bottom of the board today. Let us start with a game that we talked about earlier in the show, the Thursday night game, which I actually want to see. The New York Jets and are +3 at Cleveland. Cleveland should be 2-0. Cleveland's kicker cost them two games against good teams.
Should they be?
Cleveland's
former kicker.
I mean, on one hand, you could say they could be 2-0, but my God, Pittsburgh worked them. Took 5 turnovers for them to get tied, right?
Yes.
And that Saints game, it did look like the Saints were just, for some reason, not figuring out how to score, but they were keeping Cleveland in it versus Cleveland staying in it.
Okay.
So
does that mean you're going to take the 3 and take the Jets?
No. I'm on the bandwagon. I think these guys feel good. I think I'm picking against the rookie quarterback.
You're gonna take Cleveland.
I'm, I'm taking Cleveland in these points just because maybe the motivation of not having won a game yet when they should have won a game will finally get in. And the Jets don't know how to win games either, do they?
No.
So these are two teams that don't know how to win games. If we're going to have a tie this week, isn't it this game?
Free Bud Light on a Thursday night in Cleveland. No one. Everyone will take tomorrow night off.
Is that right?
Well, you know, Bud Light put all these.
Is that what's going to happen if there's another tie?
So Bud Light put these self-locking refrigerators. You know the story? No, Tony? You're looking at me like, okay.
No.
But Bud Light installed in a bunch of bars in the Cleveland area these self-locking refrigerators fully stocked with Bud Light that if and when Cleveland wins a game, will automatically unlock and all the beer is free. This cannot end badly, right?
Right.
Just open fridges with free beer.
At 2 in the morning.
So if it happened tonight, that's going to greatly reduce Cleveland's productivity on Friday.
All right, Indianapolis is at Philadelphia. Philadelphia is getting Carson Wentz back because they saw enough of Nick Foles in the first two games. Indianapolis has Andrew Luck, played twice already, seems pretty good. Not the level you need, but seems pretty good. Indianapolis getting 6.5, Wentz back for Philadelphia.
This feels like Vegas trying to sucker you into taking Andrew Luck. That's a lot of points for Carson Wentz's comeback.
Yep.
I'm nervous about it. It's one of those, they want you to tease it down, and a lot of people are going to use Philly as a half point, you know, tease it down for a half point, use it with other games. They're begging you to take Indy, but I can't bring myself to do that.
So you'll take Philadelphia?
I'm going to take Philadelphia, but I don't like it. This is one of those I have a feeling I'm going to wish. I just can't bring myself to bet on Andrew Luck.
Okay.
That many points.
All right, New Orleans is getting 3 at Atlanta. I thought that would be a smaller line, but New Orleans has underperformed this year. There's no question about that. Atlanta won last week after losing in the opening game of the season. These two teams are teams that you think will make the playoffs. Who do you like in this one? You get 3 if you want New Orleans.
And by the way, they actually really don't, you know, this is a real rivalry.
Like, yes.
I sort of make fun of, you know, I always say that, you know, have you ever met a Falcons fan, right? Like, you don't meet people that are Falcons fans. You don't meet people that are Atlanta Hawks fans. You get my point here, right? You don't feel like you meet anybody in Georgia who's passionate about anything other than the Bulldogs. But this is like a real rivalry. I'll take whoever gets points in this game.
New Orleans
so
gets
give me
3.
New Orleans, mm-hmm.
New Orleans gets 3. All right, Cincinnati is at Carolina. That's interdivisional game. Cincinnati's 2-0. Andy Dalton has looked good. Carolina, I think, is 1-1. Lost on the last play of the game the other day. Beat the Giants in their first game, right? Not such a big win.
Jaguars beat the Giants in the first game.
So who did Carolina beat? Oh, they beat Dallas.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
In a game that didn't have a lot of points
Boring.
At all.
Yes.
Cincinnati, I don't know if you trust them. I never do. Cincinnati getting 3 at Carolina, Chuck.
I don't. And yet, because you ask yourself, is Cincinnati a 3-0 team? Right? Forget this game. You're like, boy, 3-0. And then you have to say to yourself, well, somebody's going to be 3-0 this week that's named either Tampa Bay or Cincinnati, I think.
Yes.
And maybe even both of them. And you're just – I guess I would – I think Carolina is the better team. So at home, I'm going to stick with Carolina because I don't believe in Cincinnati yet. But this is one of those where you know there's always that one team that you're like, how the hell are they 3-0? And Cincinnati could be that team.
Carolina does not have Greg Olsen also. But, I mean, it's something to consider. So, you will give the 3 and take Carolina. This next game is intriguing. San Francisco is getting 6.5 at Kansas City. Kansas City looks good. But San Francisco looks pretty good. 6.5 is a pretty big number. At some point, somebody is going to figure out Pat Mahomes and shut that down a little bit. But he's got Tyreek Hill. He's got Travis Kelce. They look pretty good. They look pretty good. What do you think?
Can I just tell you, this is why I'm scared of both this game and the Philly game, right?
Yeah.
They're both 6.5, right? They're both at that. Because you know what people are going to do? They're going to tease them both together because you think, oh, those are easy wins. Philadelphia, Kansas City never loses at home, right? They never lose at home. They have a great home field advantage, and now they have the coolest quarterback in the NFL right now.
And this this is their home opener, I believe. First two are on the road, yeah.
I hate this spread. I think it's too much. But I feel like Mahomes is a guy that you're at the blackjack table and you just, you're like,
you ride him.
I know I'm not going to get a third blackjack in a row, but man, I'm going to be really mad when he throws five touchdowns again. So, and the 49ers don't have anybody to run the football. I guess this Matt Breida guy.
Breida.
Yeah. You know, Breida.
Is that his name, Breida?
They, you know, that offense, Garoppolo isn't as good if he doesn't have somebody to dump off to. So I'm just going to ride the Chiefs, but I'll admit I don't like it.
Although, Chuck, it sounds like, and I think it's a, that's a pretty sharp take on that teaser thing, it sounds like one of Philly or KC will likely lose.
They're going to lose outright,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you would
think. They're going to kill. They're teaser killers. You can feel it coming.
Yep.
My guess is that it's probably Carson Wentz, right, in his opening game versus Mahomes, but it does feel like one of those two are going to go down, and I just don't know which. I'd rather bet on them both than bet on them both losing.
Pittsburgh is it's a home dog situation for Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a 2-0 team. Ryan Fitzpatrick is off to a great, great start.
I think it's pronounced Fitzmagic, isn't it?
Not here. Pittsburgh not off to a great start. Antonio Brown disciplined. Le'Veon Bell on a jet ski. Ben Roethlisberger attempting to be Thomas Jefferson doesn't really work. Pittsburgh minus one on the road.
How are they favored?
I don't know.
Because it's the Steelers, Chuck.
Well, they're desperate. I mean, they're 0-1-1, as you pointed out. Cincinnati might be 3-0. I mean, they're getting to the point where they really need to win.
But I mean, there's always going to be dumb money on teams like the Cowboys and the Steelers.
I agree with that.
I mean,
that's true.
I agree with that.
That's what this feels like, right? Yeah. This feels like Vegas having to artificially keep money even.
Yep.
I'm riding the Buccaneers. I rode them last week. I'm going to keep riding them. They're going to keep getting points. An undefeated team getting points at home.
Yeah, it's crazy.
2-0. I mean, it's a great bet on paper.
Okay, Green Bay. It's another home dog situation. Green Bay is in Washington, D.C. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if he's better or not better. He only had one leg last week, seemed pretty good. Green Bay giving 3 to the Washington Redskins, who looked bad last week at home.
Here's my concern about this game. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is Kip there? Has he done his
forecast? No,
he's not
here.
No, Chris and Gary.
Weather is a concern?
Supposed to be pretty rainy, right?
Yes.
It is supposed to rain on Sunday. That's right.
I have a feeling someone on one leg with when it's wet is a bad idea.
Right.
It just that scares me. He apparently has already talked this week. A source close to him said something like he's not sure if he should keep playing on this. It tells me every Monday morning he wakes up and his knee's the size of a grapefruit, right? And then by Friday he thinks, oh, I can play on it. And it's wash, rinse, repeat. I'm going to take the Packers because I don't like picking against. I got punished for picking against my team last week.
Right.
So I'm not going to do that again. But if it's raining, I hope, as a Packer fan, Rodgers doesn't play.
That sounds like a right on the verge of Chuck emotionally hedging against his beloved Green Bay Packers.
I am a little bit. But I do not want him out there in rain. I just feel like that's a mistake.
Is it possible? Is it possible he has like a real ligament damage / tear?
That'll keep him out for 4 weeks.
You can play on a torn ACL. I mean, he does not put any pressure on his leg.
He wouldn't play with a torn ACL, but there's been a lot of speculation that he has a legitimate sprain of his MCL.
Sprain, yes. Not even a partial tear, because they keep him out. He cannot put pressure on his one leg.
Look, the reason they had all those field goals is because they can't run the full offense. When he can't roll out,
that's right.
That's why they're getting field goals when they're in the red zone. This is an 8-8 team with him in there anyway, playing like this. So I think they ought to pull him if it's raining.
And then you would have faith in the worst quarterback in the history of the NFL, Deshaun Kaiser. The worst.
No, but by the way, my favorite nickname for him, Kaiser Sosa.
That's so good. Also, I think there's
that's
a debate between Nathan Peterman and Kaiser Soso as two worst active quarterbacks.
That's true.
Nathan Peterman is horrible.
Here's what I don't understand. How is it that Green Bay, you know, we supposedly have this quarterback guru as a coach, and I say supposedly, Mike McCarthy, and they have the worst backups.
They do. The Hundley kid last year was terrible.
Matt Flynn before that, a good kid, but a smart guy, but, you know, terrible quarterback.
All right, I'll ask the one political question that we have not gotten to here. We will after this particular segment. Kavanaugh confirmed?
It's closer to today than I would have said so yesterday.
Yeah.
I think that if Republicans have given I think Grassley has made it seem as if he's giving her all these options to testify, and if she doesn't testify, Republicans can say, well, she had every opportunity in the world. Now, Republicans don't have a good argument as to why it has to be Monday, right? They are giving her all sorts of options, but they're saying all these options are available to you by close of business Monday.
Right.
So that to me is where their high ground gets lower. But I do think politically you're starting to see everybody start to get into their corners by party. And so I don't know why he wants to be confirmed with an asterisk. That's the thing here. I don't know why he wants. I'm surprised he hasn't called for an FBI investigation himself. If you would think he would want to say everything had been done to clear his name so that he doesn't have an asterisk sitting on that court.
Thank you, Chuck. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Chuck Todd, boys and girls. And if we give you Chuck Todd, nobody else gives you Chuck Todd picking games. Meet the Press is, you know, it's Meet the Press. But we got the guy picking games. But we give you more than that.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant.
Everybody sing along soon.
His purple attache. Nigel's going to the zoo,
zoo, zoo.
Reginald's got the
fight, spy, too.
Sometimes he throws
poo, poo, poo.
And he's had too much
Johnny Walker Blue.
Hi, Nigel.
That's so good.
Yes, I went down to the National Zoo. A big week for Reginald last week. Bounced back from the 0-3 week to go 3-0. So he's back at 500. He's very excited. There he is right there.
He does sound excited.
He always is very excited to see me. And there was a lot of going on at his cage area. There were the camera crew, costumes. He was in costume, and apparently he's shooting some scenes with Tom Selleck in a reboot of the series BJ and the Bear.
Fantastic.
So that'll be coming to a television set near you.
Fantastic. He plays the bear?
He's playing BJ.
Okay.
Selleck is the bear. Interesting casting. Yes. I like it.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to, you know, make an interesting twist on it. So the first game we gave was tonight's game. Much anticipated matchup between the Jets and the Browns. And Reginald showed me an old faded photograph of him coming out of Studio 54 with Joe Willie Namath, Wee Bubank, who was visibly intoxicated,
right,
and Emerson Boozer.
Fantastic.
So clearly he's got ties.
Emerson Boozer, old number 32.
That's right. Clearly has ties to the Jets.
Tone, is that game shown anywhere in the D.C. area?
Shown to Chatter.
Where would you go to see it?
If you come, if you're in this area, come to Friendship Heights to Chatter. That game's going to be on.
Where exactly is Chatter located?
That's on the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Streets in Friendship
that's
Heights.
What
thank
it
you.
Is. That's
now, should you mention that Reginald presently red hot coming off a 3-0 week?
He said that.
Okay. Yes, you know, I said after
the Gary Black, no, I was not
Gary,
listening.
Gary blacks out listening. Every once in a while. Yeah.
Blocks me out for sure. The next game of game was San Francisco getting 6.5 at Kansas City. And he showed me some old newspaper columns and telling me that actually his great-grandfather was actually incarcerated in Alcatraz for a number of years. Apparently he was an enforcer for the Dutch Schultz mob back in the day. So, but spent some time in the San Francisco area. And so he will side with the Niners in this one, take the 6.5. So smart play?
The Dutch Schultz mob.
We'll see.
He's connected.
Sure. No, obviously. I know. I know he's mobbed up.
And I think you'll be pleased about this. Of course, we gave him the Green Bay Washington game. And Michael, I think you'll be interested to know this one as well. He showed me an old home movie. Of this has got to be like 1981, 82, of him at Bob Woodward's house at a party.
No.
Yes, riding the pony. Yes,
so riding the pony.
And same pony.
Who else was it? Was the same pony?
Wow.
Mike Nelms was there, Neil Okowitz, and Don Warren as well. So, yes, a very, very
Dutch.
Dutch.
Warren.
There you go.
Talked about Dutch Schultz.
Dutch theme, yeah.
Dutch Warren.
Yeah. So, clearly he likes the Redskins in that game.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have news. I'm Tony Kornheiser. This is the,
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, I stepped on that, didn't
nah,
I?
Nah, that's my fault.
This is the Spotify ad. I'm going to do version one today.
It feels like a one day?
Yeah. Did you know that every single episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show is now on Spotify?
I did.
The same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. On Spotify, you can listen to all of your favorite shows, like this one, and discover new ones, just not too many because we get jealous very easily. To subscribe to our show, search for the Tony Kornheiser Show, tap follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, follow, 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 and get every new episode delivered to you. Podcasts on Spotify, they're streaming right now, and now, and now.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
One, two, three, four!
This is Civic Duty for the second time today. The song is called Door to the Sun. It has, the beginning of it, has that Jersey Shore feel.
Doesn't it?
It really does. It has that Springsteen feel. So, Michael, if bands like Civic Duty or any bands out there or any individuals out there, I think Rozzy's got a new single that we're going to get our hands on soon.
Oh, yes, we need to do that.
So we do. So how do they send in their stuff?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And are we selling anything?
We still have the official Wine Tyrant corkscrew and bottle saver.
By the way, did you took home that beautiful thing that was sent to us, the wooden thing to hold the wine bottle in?
I never took it home. It should still be here unless someone snuck into the studio and stole it.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's gone. I thought you took it home.
No, I left it here for safekeeping, but apparently the studio is not secure.
Well, it's
no,
not.
It's not.
Is it?
No, it's not. Kevin's in it.
Is it behind the curtain there?
No.
Nigel was the only one who's been in here. So.
No. Yeah, well, I steal things all the time, but I don't remember stealing that.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Gary broke everything.
Oh, good Lord,
I can
Gary.
Fix it. I have my gold medal,
no,
my gun metal.
Gun metal chrome finish?
Yeah. No, it's not there. No, it's not in the studio, and so it's gone. That's why you take things home.
I blame Nigel. He has a guilty look.
I left a box of Cougarans in here. Has anyone seen those?
Everything's gone.
Euros?
Everything's gone.
Mr. Tony, we'll start off with baseball, and we'll stay local for a second. This could be the final homestand for Bryce Harper with the Washington Nationals.
Nats finish on the road. They finish out of division, right? Colorado or something.
Meaningful games for the other team.
They're not meaningful for the Nats. What do we think? Is Harper gone? Harper's going to finish with 35 homers and 100 RBI.
Yes.
And he's going to have produced in the second half of the season tremendous statistics that, by the way, did not help the team at all.
No,
because the team
not.
Has been worse.
That's right.
But what do you think?
I think he's probably gone. I would say there's a 35% chance he resigns, and I think that will be dependent on what the market looks like for him. I mean, I think he views himself as a Mike Trout-like talent. I don't think his numbers bear that out. I mean, I think he's
Trout is the best.
Yes.
And but I think Harper is in the
he's
absolute
in the second category.
And
absolutely.
There may be nobody else in the first category.
And he is 25, Michael?
Yeah, he'd be 26 in October.
Yeah. So I would love for him to stay. I mean, I think I get the whole, we could get a catcher and, another pitcher with the money that we would pay Bryce. I still think Bryce puts butts in seats, gets all the kids to wear his jersey, makes people excited about the team. But my friend
Anthony Black in Atlanta went to an Atlanta Nats game last week. Bryce Harper gave his son the game bat he used.
Cool.
Pretty nice. Wow.
I mean, I think it's good for the city to have a Bryce Harper. But I think he's going to absolutely
right.
look
his value is so much higher than anything that you're going to see on a stat line. That said, if I'm being reasonable, I do think he's gone. I think the best scenario for him is to go to someplace in division because there are teams that would readily want him.
Philadelphia
would be the best fit. I think he might be looking inward and say it's not the best recipe to try and play my former team, the team where I came up that many times over this next set of years. Atlanta, I think that right field wall just isn't the best fit for him. If you wanted to take him, you have to accept that his fielding is a minus. If I want to keep him here, I have to wonder, what is it like over these last 5 or 6 weeks where he looks to his left and right and sees Juan Soto and Victor Robles and says, do I want to take the known over the unknown? All these other teams are going to tout the young talent they have. I have the young talent that I need.
And I know it. And
right
it's
next
good.
To me.
These guys are good.
Yep.
They're good.
At the end of the day, however, he would need to really want to stay here to be here because there's going to be more money elsewhere. Right?
I would say there'll be as much money elsewhere. I don't think there's a guarantee there'll be more money. No. You think that the Nats will not under, but
it just depends on what he's chasing. If you look at the single biggest moment of his career happens to be, I think, that All-Star game.
Absolutely. The Home Run Derby.
And that's something that was afforded to him because of his familiarity with the stadium, with the fan base, with the coverage. Mm-hmm. So it's all about value for him. Yeah, he might be able to squeeze out a few more million dollars elsewhere. But when you're making that much...
In terms of a contract.
Yes, in terms of a contract.
But there is some value to staying here.
Yeah. There is value to staying here, and also with the Under Armour money that he's getting, mm-hmm. the actual money on field is somewhat meaningless.
All right, what else?
Going to the Red Sox and Yankees. Red Sox just needed to win one game in a three-game series with the Yankees to clinch the AL East. They have not been able to do it. David Price, a very rough outing again versus the New York
Yankees. At Yankee Stadium. He's terrible at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, although not really helped out by Eduardo Nunez, who let the ball go through and let a couple runs score. And also the offense for Boston, non-existent as they lose 10-1. Do you think David Price will be a significant factor in the postseason?
He has to be significant one way or the other. Yep. He has to be. He and Sale have to be. Yeah, there's no question about that.
Has he won one postseason game? Is that what it is?
He's been a very good reliever in the postseason.
Last year he was terrific.
He's a bad starter, and maybe he becomes Andrew Miller just for this particular series. There's only one question in all of baseball, which is, will the St. Louis Cardinals win more games than both the Los Angeles Dodgers and Colorado Rockies, thereby eliminating a second wild card team from the NL West? That's the only thing that's out there now, because the American League is set.
My kids reminded me this morning before I left that the Braves still haven't clinched the division.
Well, it's accurate.
So, okay, still got a run in us.
Yeah.
SP says the line is moving. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. What else?
To the NBA, Mr. Tony, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban has agreed to contribute $10 million to women's organizations. This is coming on the heels of an NBA investigation into the atmosphere and culture of the Dallas Mavericks, in which Adam Silver called disturbing and heartbreaking about the allegations of harassment and violence toward female employees that went on back decades.
Adam Silver didn't do anything about it until Sports Illustrated broke the story. It's gone on for 20 years. And Mark Cuban tells everybody, nothing goes on in my businesses that I don't know everything about. But then said to the
and
NBA.
If it does, I'm sorry.
Yeah, said to the NBA, I didn't know anything about it. Went on with Rachel the other day and said, it's terrible. It's awful. I didn't know anything about
it.
He
was on with Rachel yesterday.
The other day.
Was that today?
Well, that's the
this
other
is,
day.
Then it was the other
this
day.
This is just like, you know, Urban Meyer going on with Tom Rinaldi. These public confessionals. I didn't know anything about this. I'm terribly sorry about what happened. Have some money. I mean, that's essentially just throw money at
things.
I've
got this stack of money I'd like
to
give
here's
you.
Here's money.
It's unrelated to
take
the other
all
thing.
The money you want, but I knew nothing about it. Now, I'm not saying he knew something about it.
Just seems.
But I'm saying that he always runs around saying nothing goes on that I don't know about, and then said I didn't know about this. You know, so here's money.
No further punishment for the
Of Mavericks. Course not.
Money,
yes,
please.
Because he didn't know anything.
Of course right? not.
Staying with the association, looks like, I know you
it's
like
when going to. I'm not Catholic. Chris, you're Catholic.
I am.
When you go to confession,
well,
what happens?
Let me think back to my 12-year-old self. I haven't done much wrong since then, Tom. yeah, I mean, you go and you lay it out, and then they say, like, do 10 Hail Marys. And you're like, that sounds good.
Well, this is the same. This is here's $10 million to a bunch of women. The NFL has given $90 million in the last couple of years
to
people, you know, on the – for what is now referred to as social justice. It's so easy to throw money. That's the easiest thing to do is to throw money.
It's way easier than changing behavior.
Yeah. Will it change? I don't know. I mean, and I'm not trying to be hard. I like Mark Cuban a lot. I like Mark Cuban a lot. I'm just saying that there is this notion out there, the same thing with Urban Meyer. There's this sort of notion out there that, wow, I can't believe that this happened.
I am shocked to find out there's gambling going on.
I mean,
here.
Urban Meyer sat there and time after time used the phrase, I was trying to stabilize. I was trying to stabilize that household and that family. What are you talking about? You were a football coach.
And you were
Mark Cuban owns a basketball team. Right. He wasn't looking for that. I understand that. He's not looking for that. The people are in charge. The team's doing well. He's not looking for that. It's not. All right, go ahead.
Jimmy Butler apparently is interested.
He's out.
Yeah, interested in going to the Los Angeles Clippers, apparently.
With Kawhi Leonard, if he goes to the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yes.
He also, another team, I guess.
I thought all these guys loved Tom Thibodeau.
Well, Butler,
I thought everybody played for Thibodeau loved him.
Butler apparently told Thibodeau that he would like to be traded before reporting for the Timberwolves media day.
Because he hates him.
Yes. That would be an indication, yes.
The most interesting thing I thought about the story is his list of teams. It's like the Clippers, the Knicks, and then it's the Nets.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's because you're in the New York media market, but who the hell wants to play for that? They stink.
Yeah,
it's because Nets.
The Knicks stink. Yeah, the Nets are worse.
Yes.
I mean,
they're
like,
the worst.
Yes.
It's like listing the teams you want to be on. Be like, the Reds. I mean, like, these teams are bad.
Yeah.
Perennially.
Jimmy Butler's a very good player. This is Wilbon told me, well, he's going to Thibodeau. He loves Thibodeau. He loves Tibbs. He loves this going to work. Well, he apparently hates Tibbs. And apparently, according to what Adrian Wojnarowski said on television this morning that I saw, so does everybody else, that Thibodeau has no relationship at all with Karl Anthony Towns. Well, you know, you have to. Because he's a really good player.
Yeah, you sort of have to, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
But Thibodeau is
the
guy. Thibodeau is the guy who takes his five starters and by the 20th game of the year, they've collapsed on the floor.
He seems like
a dusty with starters.
I never understood how he was touted because, I mean, I know he's supposed to be a defensive genius, which is fine. But the way that feels to me like in the pros, it's a lot of personality management. And he does not strike me. He seems like a better college coach, like a scheme guy.
X's and O's guys.
You know. Right.
They should hire Lee Jenkins to talk to the players to convince them that Thibodeau is good.
Yeah, sure.
Because apparently nobody thinks so.
Well, the NFL has released a statement saying that we are continuing to work with Pepsi on our plans for the Pepsi halftime show. We don't have any announcements to make on what will be another.
I thought Maroon 5.
Well they say that.
That's unofficial.
But yes, it's unofficial.
Oh, Maroon 5 is saying that.
Yes. Well, some sources close to Maroon 5. This apparently after the Royal Guardsmen were offered the gig and said, we're just too busy. We can't do it. So it looks like Maroon 5 will be, even though the NFL hasn't officially announced it yet. But
so
looks
this,
like
is,
will be.
This is what television can do for you if you want it to. This is what American Idol could do for you in the old days if they put somebody on there to help coach up somebody. This particular show, The Voice, they have Blake Shelton who can do whatever he wants to do.
Correct.
Yeah. He can be on any show he wants. He, you know, if he wants to.
They have him guest host the Today Show sometimes.
His tour, if he tours, he's sold out
sold
everywhere
out.
He goes.
Everywhere, yes.
I don't think it's coincidence that what's her name, the first American Idol who everybody likes,
Carrie Underwood.
Kelly Clarkson. She's on that show
a
now.
A Moment Like This.
She's on that show now, and that helps her. Adam Levine is on that show, and his band is Maroon 5. The other players in Maroon 5 do nothing. And they sit there and they go, yeah, Adam, because it's going to be a lot
Preach.
Of money down the road. It's going to be a lot of money down the road.
It's like playing with Jordan.
If you do the halftime show at the Super Bowl and you release an album.
Boom, jackpot.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, so good for them. Are they any good, Maroon 5?
They're popular pop band.
Pop music, yeah. He's very likable.
Yeah.
He's pleasant voice.
On the show, he's
Adam
great.
Adam Levine is probably more talented than you would think his music gives him credit for.
I'm sure he's. I'm just asking.
That's what
is
people
he
say about me.
Who would you rather see, Maroon 5 or the Zombies at the halftime show?
Well, you can't ask me because
Macaroon 5.
No one is selling anything to me but Depends. I mean, I'm not
a target
buying
audience.
Anything. I'm not buying Pepsi. Right. I'm not anymore.
Pepsi Cola.
I have trouble. And Pepsi Cola. I have trouble opening the can.
The promo. Very difficult, yes. The promo for The Voice featuring Kelly Clarkson, and Adam Levine, and Blake Shelton, and others. That aired during the Super Bowl last year. I don't know if you guys remember it, but it was phenomenal. I commend it. I'll play it for you in the break. I think I played it for you at the time.
I just don't remember anything, including your name.
Is Blake still with Miranda Lambert? Nigel,
ooh,
can I get an update on that?
No, they're
bad
gone.
Divorce.
No,
it's over with.
Oh, he remembers
with,
that?
Oh, yeah, he's Stefani. With Gwen Stefani.
He's with the
That's
girl
right.
who sat next to him for a couple
That's
of
crazy.
Years.
That's crazy.
Chris, he's with Gwen Stefani.
Oh, yeah. Good, Nigel. Thanks. Excellent.
And
support.
By the way, both of them, both Miranda Lambert and Gwen Stefani, are wonderful performers.
Yes.
Wonderful singers. Blake Shelton is a big boy.
6'4".
He's a big
boy. Is he
boy.
That big?
Big guy. He's big guy. Big guy.
It's all like O'Reilly big.
He's a
six,
big
six.
Boy.
Gregory.
Mr. Tony, we have time for one more story. Were you going to touch on Valentino Dixon and Old Guy Radio?
I don't know what that is.
Valentino Dixon was incarcerated for nearly 3 decades. And while he was there, he reverted back to something he enjoyed doing in childhood, which was drawing. At one point, a warden came up to him and said, here's a picture of a golf course. And he started drawing that. And then he started drawing all these golf courses, so much so that he sort of became this urban legend. And Golf Digest did a whole feature on him of all these brilliant pictures that he'd drawn. And then groups got involved and said, wait a minute, should he really have been convicted? Turns out, another bloke, like right after his conviction on a murder charge, said, no, I actually did it. And yet Valentino Dixon was still in prison for all this time. Now, it was his gun. So basically they went through all this and they said, you know what? You've served time enough for the illegal weapons charge so that he's been released now. And it was all through this work, actually through Georgetown. Georgetown did this big project.
Georgetown Legal Center?
That is
the Georgetown Legal Center.
Aren't they the ones trying to put Saliza in jail?
I think that's the same one.
That's typically very, they get people who are wrongly convicted out, though, yeah.
Yeah, so okay. But it's a fascinating story. And there you go.
All right, so we will have Old Guy Radio when we return. Yes, am I in correct order?
And Jeff Ma as well.
And Jeff Ma. I'm in correct order, even though this show is
the show's
not
completely out of
you're
order.
Out of order. Yeah.
We're taping
you're
this actually on Monday.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, so everybody knows how much I love this ad, the Lowe's ad, because it's
gunmetal chrome.
I'm talking about these things. I don't have them at all. It's my new go-to destination for Craftsman products. And let me say, if I wanted Craftsman products, I would go to Lowe's. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup are mechanics tool sets in gunmetal finish. What's so great about that is, Gary knows, the gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant.
Very durable.
That means the tools are more durable and long-lasting. And the best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, stop the hammering. It makes them easier to clean. Lowe's carries both a 51-piece and an 81-piece mechanics tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. The set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility. So if one of your projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, as I know happens at Chris's house, then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet, which I think that nobody from Chris's high school has ever gotten before.
Extreme.
It has a three-degree arc swing. You don't know what that does? Well, I didn't before, but I do now. A three-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. With its slim head and three-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener. Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, the two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto or do-it-yourself project on your list. I'm not tool handy. There's one thing that I have that I like most of all, and I don't know if Lowe's and Craftsman make it, but if they do, I would get it. I like to go around the yard with one of those little things that cuts branches.
Sure, clippers? Little hand clippers?
Shears. Little hand things.
It's called a thing.
Shears. I like that. I did that yesterday afternoon. That gave me great pleasure, going down at the bottom near the
pruning
roots.
Stuff. You're
yes,
a pruner.
Yes, that's what I like to do. So if Craftsman made a pruner with a three-degree arc swing to get into the really narrow spots down by the roots, I'd love that. Shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Over my best wishes, Nigel picked this. This is Sugar Sugar by the Archies, who are a made-up group. I mean, it's a bunch of studio musicians. Who wrote this song?
Oh, who wrote this
song?
Was this
Boyce and Hart? Did they write this?
Let's see. Written by... I do not see
it. Don Kirshner? Did he write it? He organized
Bieber?
The group.
No, it was produced by Jeff Barry.
Jeff Barry?
Yeah.
Of Barry, Greenwich and Barry?
Yes. Oh, written by Jeff Barry and Andy Kim.
Oh, and Andy Kim.
Whose other big hit was Rock Me Gently, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And apparently, so this song hit number one on this day in 1969.
So that's 49 years ago.
Stayed there for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an infectious, terrible song. Apparently, but it's infectious.
Apparently, it was also...
Not sure I've ever heard this part playing right now, but everyone's familiar with the first 20 seconds.
Don Kirshner apparently offered it to the Monkees and said, Mike Nesmith, as the legend goes, put his fist through a wall and said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I refuse to do this song. And it obviously was a huge hit for
them. It was a very big hit.
Yes.
But they're an invented group.
It's a made-up group.
They couldn't tour.
Right.
Because it's just studio guys.
Yeah, studio musicians.
Jeff Ma joins us now. Jeff had another good week. He was 3-2, which is not as good as his first week, 3-1. But he's 6-3 overall. His podcast is called Bet the Process with Rufus T. Firefly. What is Rufus
Peabody? It's Rufus
Peabody.
Peabody.
It's such a great name. Rufus T. Firefly. Isn't that Groucho Marx?
Wasn't it
Groucho Marx thing?
Rufus, Jeff. I think, local kid and big Redskins fan.
Is that right?
Isn't that right, Jeff?
Jeff, is he local, Rufus?
He is local, and he is a big Redskins fan, yes.
Oh, so, I had no idea.
Better to be a big Red Sox fan, to be honest.
Rufus T. Firefly from Duck Soup. And the
yes,
Marx
it's brothers. Groucho Marx is Rufus T. Firefly. Yeah. All right, so what have you got, Jeff?
sadly, I think we are finally jumping off the Cleveland Browns bandwagon.
Uh-oh.
And we're getting onto the New York Jets bandwagon plus the three tonight. It's, you know, an interesting situation where even though Cleveland is 0-1-1, the perception is all of a sudden that they're playing much better.
Yes,
but
2-0.
Their offense has really not been that good. They're 4.5 yards per play, which is the fifth worst in the league. And the Jets have been much better offensively. Early in the season, offense tends to be much more predictive. Like, if you're really good offensively, it means that you're probably going to be better offensively throughout the season. And the Jets' defense has been pretty strong. They're top four in the league in terms of yards per play allowed at 4.8. So I just like the Jets getting the points here. I mean, the one thing that people could say is, like, how in the world where, you know, Cleveland has not won a game in whatever amount of years should they be giving 3 points to anyone?
Right.
So I like the Jets plus the 3 points.
Okay. What else?
And then moving on to Sunday, New Orleans has probably been the most disappointing team to many people. As I mentioned, Rufus P. Firefly.
Rufus T. Firefly.
T. Firefly, sorry. He had them ranked as the sort of number one team, New Orleans, going into the season. So what are we to make of the first two games of the season where their defense has been abysmal? Well, as I mentioned, offense is a little bit more predictive than defense, and their offense has been still quite strong in terms of yards per play. They're the number six team at 6.2 yards per play, better than Atlanta, who's been the number 10 team. I actually think these two teams are New Orleans is still a little better than Atlanta. I think New Orleans will sort out their defense. And again, getting 3 points, I'll take New Orleans, who I think is the better team.
Okay.
Now we're going to move on to a team that's getting their quarterback back in the Philadelphia Eagles. Really, this line is low. I don't know. What are you guys seeing? I'm seeing six and six and a half.
Six and a half.
Yeah, obviously liked it better at six, but we'll still take it at six and a half. The difference between Wentz and Foles is obviously huge here. And I think that, you know, people are going to expect Wentz to be rusty, but people also forget how good Wentz was and how good he is. He's incredible, and he's incredible from a fantasy standpoint, but also from a standpoint of real football, making plays. And I expect Philly to roll here, as their defense has been still quite solid, and then getting Wentz back will be really great for them.
Okay.
And then a team that I've ridden most of the season already, Cincinnati. I like them plus the 3 points against Carolina. Carolina's D has actually been below average this year, which would surprise many people. And, you know, offensively, they've been okay. But Cincy's been a much better team on both sides of the ball, and I expect them to continue to play well in this game. Again, getting 3 points with the team that I think is the better team is the value that I'll take here.
Cincinnati, the one sure bet is that someone will be flagged for targeting and thrown out of the game, because that happens all
Although
the time.
Although Vontaze Perfect, I think, is still suspended, so he's unlikely to be that guy.
But the two surprising teams, obviously, are Cincinnati and Tampa Bay so far, right? That you'd say that?
Well, did you know that all three Florida teams are undefeated so far this year?
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. 6-0 in the state of
Dolphins,
Florida.
Dolphins.
Oh,
Bucks,
the Jets. I didn't know the Dolphins were. Yeah. Oh, wow. Are you? Are these the games you're taking, or is there any more? Because we're fine.
No, those are the four games I'm taking.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
And Tony, I would point this out: of the six underdogs Jeff has taken so far this season, five have won outright. So with three 3-point dogs, there's a nice little money line
we think
parlay
Jeff is
opportunity
good.
There.
We do. We think Jeff is good.
Listeners.
And
yes.
the podcast.
Hey, how am I doing versus the monkey so far?
You're beating the monkey.
Monkey's 500.
Yeah,
monkey's
500.
You're plus three. You're crushing the monkey at the moment.
At the moment.
You're at the
beating
moment.
The monkey.
But it's a long.
It could be. Said.
Yeah, it's a long season. Plug your podcast for us.
Season.
Plug it.
Yeah, bet the process. We drop it every Thursday. We give out college picks, NFL picks, and we talk about the industry as a whole and all the news that's happening these days, and analyze sort of like what the mainstream media is talking about and what the sort of shows that are on some of the major networks, which are kind of popping up everywhere now.
Thank you, Jeff. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tony.
We like Jeff Ma.
Yeah.
We do like Jeff Ma. What did I want to talk about? Oh, so Michael and I yesterday, well, first of all, I had a great dinner last night. Liz and Ron came over. Yeah. Michael and Liz and baby boy Bootsy came over. So my dog, this is an interesting thing. When people come over to the house, Chessie the dog is very happy and goes outside with them and drags frisbees in her mouth and encourages them to throw frisbees and all of that.
You have to attend to her first, and then she's good for the rest of the night.
But she also...
You as the guest, you mean?
Yes.
But she also, one of the things that she does is she does not nap. While people are at the house, the dog does not nap. So that, because the dog is, and especially with baby boy Bootsy walking now, the dog likes the baby much more and goes up to the baby and doesn't knock the baby down or anything, but licks the baby in the face and is a 75-pound dog. And so sometimes this annoys the baby boy.
But the baby is now on the same
height
plane
level
as the dog. Before, when you would hold the baby, she just wanted what was ever in your arms. And now that he's on the ground, they're like two ships crossing the night. She's always aware of him, but she no longer needs to be right there on
That's
top
right.
of him.
But she becomes concerned with him. So when everybody leaves, the dog goes to sleep for 10 hours. The dog just, like, I could barely get the dog awake this morning.
Oh, wow.
The dog
just expends so much
energy. The dog is worn out. So Michael
Eternal
and I,
vigilance.
Michael and I yesterday, we played
Bryce. Yet
we played
another
golf.
Great use for baby boy Bootsy, wearing out the dog.
It's a corollary benefit. Yeah. We didn't really expect that.
Have you fit Chessie out with
wonderful
a small saddle?
Dinner. Huh?
With a small saddle?
We put the baby on.
So, yes, this is about the dinner. I don't mean to embarrass my wife, but we are texting with Liz and Ron about dinner for the evening. And
bringing over a platter.
Call it, you know, break fast. She breakfast. Just looks at me. We're in the car. Why are we going to have breakfast for dinner?
It's a different...
Honest mistake.
You learn all the time. So
you did
all
a
over.
Chatter platter?
Yes, we did. It was wonderful. We all had a really good time.
Great.
And then during the afternoon, as I do, I've talked about this before. My I will not
God,
work.
Of course.
I will not work on Yom Kippur, but I will play golf. And you could say that's a convenient rationale because you like to play golf. And I would say that's true. I'm guilty of that. But I also feel a certain spirituality on a golf course that I don't feel anywhere else. And Michael was kind enough to play with me. And Michael played well.
I did.
Michael shot one under.
I didn't want to post a number publicly, but
well,
yes,
just said
I think
Michael shot one under.
I think those who criticize you don't understand what the golf course means to you and to our relationship, and it really is when you see the light filtering through the trees, when you hear the bird song, when you realize that you're just alone with your thoughts and for the two of us alone with each other, and you actually get to pause and you have that space for reflection. It makes a lot more sense. And you get to hit it.
You get to hit it.
You get to walk straight to your ball.
And hit it
again.
We
played in under 3 hours.
Under three. We had the course bit pretty much all to ourselves.
Was it wet? I wouldn't.
Yes, it was wet.
Not a big Yom Kippur crowd in an Irish Catholic club.
Right, good point.
That's right. So, but it was wet, lift, clean in place and stuff like that. But, you know, Michael played. I was thrilled.
That's great.
I played good. But Michael played
what,
well.
Did you shoot 75?
I passed 75. Yeah, I got to 75. I think I was right around. I think I broke 90.
You broke 90.
I think I was pretty happy about breaking 90.
Oh, yeah. Honey,
a lot of really good par saves for you.
Yeah, I was happy about that. So I did say this because we did talk to Chuck, and we do have Chris here. And Chuck said he believed that now it had tilted a little bit more, and that the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh might be more likely than he felt it was the other day. He brought up that thing that you think Kavanaugh would like to have the FBI investigation. That always, if somebody doesn't want an FBI investigation, that always leads me to conclusions that are not pleasant for that person. But perhaps I'm just clutching at straws there. I'm wondering, what is your feeling now?
Well, so I take a little bit of issue with Chuck in that he said, why does he want to be a Supreme Court justice with an asterisk?
Because he wants to be. Because
the first part of that's more important than
that's
the
right.
asterisk part.
That's
because
right.
he'd be a Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
I think it is more likely today than it has been at any time since we found out about this, which is effectively last Friday, but really Sunday afternoon when Christine Blasey Ford came forward.
That's right.
I think it is more likely I do think this is not a created timeline. by Republicans to say, well, it has to be Monday or it's not at all. But they have managed to rally Susan Collins and other people
who could be
off the board and make things more complicated. They've managed to rally people behind this idea that if she does not show up on Monday, they are proceeding to a vote. I believe it's now scheduled for Wednesday. And that will be it. Chuck Grassley, the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman, set a deadline of 10 a.m. on Friday morning to have her make a decision. Her attorneys continue to suggest that it's not happening. You know, it's sort of a game of chicken. I think at this point, she's going to have to be the one who blinks, because if she doesn't, they're just going to proceed. I think there is risk in that. I think Democrats are headed to a very good election in 46-47 days. Regardless, I think this could make it even more so. You'll remember that after the Anita Hill thing, that was 91. 92 is the year of the woman. Big gains for Democrats. I think you may see something similar. But I do think if you are a betting person, today, as of this second, he is more likely to be confirmed than not. Her testifying would significantly complicate that.
Do you think she will testify at the moment? Now, it's Thursday morning.
I'm going to say no, because I say that Kavanaugh is better than a 50-50 chance to get confirmed. I think if at 8:53 a tweet comes out that says she's testifying, I think his chances go down again, just because of the public spectacle, how we know those things play out, the likelihood she would come across as a credible person doesn't mean that, you know, I don't think we're ever going to know what the capital T truth is here.
Right.
But I think that would go down. Her not testifying seems to me to put him back on schedule.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with email and jingles. Yes?
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
That is, of course, Denise Graves, not Gary Braun. It's fabulous. Let me thank Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. Let me thank our predictive expert, Jeff Ma. Let me thank today's sponsors, Lowe's, Spotify, and SeatGeek. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. It's not raining today. It's a beautiful day.
Lovely day.
Alex Lau came down from New York City and brought us black and white cookies from Zaro's and a couple of challahs. And,
awesome.
Challah at your boy, as we like to say.
At your boy.
From Dennis McCann in Bayfield, Wisconsin. Brewer fan here. Just wanting to thank you all for sending Gio to Milwaukee.
God.
6 shutout innings Wednesday night and no muttering around the mound like the Gio you remember. We'll happily take your cast-offs. Is Harper doing anything next month? It is painful to see that it's the Blake Treinen rule, and it's painful.
Yes,
it is. It's honestly painful. From Tim in San Antonio, made the pilgrimage to Chatter this morning. Unfortunately, the metro didn't catch fire. I'll have some tribute for you and the gang. Was wondering if I could get a birthday shout-out to my wife, Melissa, and the rest of the men and women of the 386th Expeditionary Civil Engineering Squadron who are currently deployed. Melissa may not be a full-blown little yet, but I'm working on it. She claims she doesn't know enough about the topics you all discuss, but I tell her not to worry. Neither does Salissa.
Thank you for all the endless entertainment,
not only on this show, but also on PTI. I'm in the military as well. Your shows always bring smiles and a small taste of home to all those deployed. Lachizery, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
Ted Keniston, Mason, Ohio. Many years ago at our wedding rehearsal in a Catholic church, the best man was instructed to hold the holy water. I am not Catholic, but the woman to whom I was soon to be related by marriage is. So I asked a snarky question of the priest, Father Gene. Our best man, Ed, is of the tribe, and so I inquired as to what would happen if he spilled holy water on himself. Father Gene said Ed would become uncircumcised. Needless to say, I tried to jostle Ed both at the rehearsal and during the wedding to witness a miracle. 26 years later, my bride and best man are still around. Surprisingly, hashtag Edith Saliza.
Ted met me with Anthony Beeson and Todd Takei when I was in Cincinnati. Yeah,
no. Mike from Burke, Virginia, congratulations. You have officially passed into codgerdom with your statement that you enjoyed the In Memoriam segment of the Emmys. Did you break it down by above the fold and below the fold, A1 or not A1? So that's the last 20 years of my grandmother's life. She started her day by carefully analyzing the obits in the Greenwich newspaper. After establishing that her own name was not contained vein therein. She looked for friends, enemies, and deaths in really good neighborhoods. The last one because nobody enjoyed a good estate sale. Like my grandmother. That's condolences funny. On all of those deaths from Mike from Burke, Virginia. And by the way, Tim in San Antonio says to tell Mike in Burke, Virginia, wahoo wah. So I guess they're both alums. Brian Rigsby in Elon, North Carolina. I wanted to share with you my TK moment this week. My stepdaughter, Kendra, was helping out on a promotional photo shoot. When she came in from the first day, I asked her who was the photo shoot for. She said some male clothing line, Johnny something. She had not heard of them. What? I shouted, Johnny O. She said, yeah, that was them. I explained that Johnny O was advertising all the time on the podcast. I told her for the next day she needed to have the models give the TK salute when they posed and then see if she could get me a big box of that.
The impossibly handsome.
John, yes, O'Donnell. John O'Donnell. John O'Donnell. From Justin Johnson in Arlington, Virginia. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Nationals should actually have an easier time getting into the playoffs now that LeBron is no longer in the East.
Well, they get past the first round.
That's very true, yes.
Kevin Duffy in Williamston, Michigan. It was unnerving to listen Tuesday as Tory, Gary, Nigel, and Michael glibly agreed to hop aboard that pot-toking rocket man Elon Musk's upcoming SpaceX moon mission. I'm not getting on that thing.
You're not on board.
Musk is the founder of Tesla. Everyone knows about Tesla's issues with their self-driving cars catching on fire. But did the TK Rocketeers know that in 2017, Tesla recalled 53,000 of the 76,000 models sold in 2016 because a brake issue could cause the car to become completely immobilized forever? So yeah, go ahead and let the guy who designs cars that don't move shoot you into outer space. It's clear that you're the only rational person in the chatter atrium, old man, and damn, that
zoom,
is
zoom,
saying
zoom.
Something.
We're going to the moon.
From Michael Gorski in Rockville, we have hosted Breakfast for Yom Kippur for several years and had a relatively small crowd of 20 this year. We provided the usual assortment of bagels, lox, egg salad, whitefish, veggies, and drinks, and our guests asked what they can bring. This year, we got offers of dips, fruit, flowers, wine, and numerous desserts. My sister-in-law graciously volunteered to make two noodle kugels. At the end of the evening, she started packing up the remaining kugel to take home. My wife said she would like some of the kugel for leftovers. My sister-in-law refused, saying, well, what did you cook? My wife somewhat bit her tongue, which is not easy for her to do, but added that we did just also have them at dinner for Rosh Hashanah last week. Who deserves the kugel? We managed to keep three pieces. That sounds like a great fight.
Yes.
That sounds like a great fight. If you're out on your bike tonight, as always, everyone, do wear white.
Thank you, Mr. Tony.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like a baby, I have no control. I'm half awake.
One, two, three.